is the grace of God. It's so good,
so good,
so good, all the time,
all the time.
But so good,
so good,
so good, all the time. So good! Woo!
A do 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 do. Might as well join them, huh? Well, over the holidays, I was sick. I had RSV. Oh, dear. How many of you were sick over the holidays? Not many. Good, good, good. Okay, so I don't have much company. Well, I didn't feel like doing much else than watch television. For 3 weeks, I watched television and I coughed. Watching television for 3 weeks did little to heal me. But it did give me some insights. First, the news is almost uniformly bad, and the world is extremely dangerous. A large percentage of the American public is armed, including children. Some of you may be armed. I am not. Most of the population is sick, especially with eczema and psoriasis. We got skin problems. The medications offered for a wide range of ailments usually have toxic effects, including death. The entertainments portray a world in which the good narrowly defeats evil. Politicians blame each other for the bad in the world, but do little good themselves. Athletes brag about themselves, and it is imperative that everyone be a winner. Checker flag is where winners buy. I am tired of hearing that. Losers sort of disappear. We seldom see the poor among us. We never see the dying except for dying children in war-torn countries. And we are told in a myriad of ways that money is the most important thing in the world. God is almost never mentioned. If you were to diagnose the average American person from the perspective of TV, you would have a patient who is bipolar, or what used to be called manic depressive. Everything is always up and down in extremes, extremely sad or extremely happy. The patient would have a narcissistic personality, have terrible allergies and homicidal tendencies. However, what stood out for me most was the absence of something. There was never a voice of reassurance. No one ever said what parents often say to their children in a crisis: it's going to be okay. We'll make it because of the people we are in the presence of the God who created us. All is well, or all is in divine order. You didn't hear that. As Jesus put it, I am with you always, even unto the end of time. We were never reminded of that. As a child of the 50s, I ask, where have all the flowers gone? Where are the Walter Cronkites, the Mr. Rogers, the Andy Griffiths? Remember when Andy would reassure Barney that there was no crime wave in Mayberry? That Aunt Bee was baking pies and Opie was riding his bike home from school? All was well. Andy would give Barney his bullet, but with the reassurance that he would probably never have to use it. That was a world in which I could rest in. Now, we perceive our world, at least from a televised perspective, as restless, angry, and edgy, and a threat. Yet the world is not something imposed upon us. We are not, I repeat, we are not the victims of the world. For the world is a blank canvas on which we paint how we believe and feel and think. In other words, the world is up to us. We make the world up. So what appears on TV is actually a reflection of how we think of ourselves. If you go really deep down, how we think of ourselves is afraid. We're afraid of others, and we're afraid of ourselves, and we're afraid of God, we're afraid of death, and we're afraid of not being loved. But it's all about fear. In my first parish, we had a rug that was new, and the first graders were to come in and christen the new rug. And their teacher, the first grade teacher, Ms. Brady, told the children that nobody ever better get sick on that rug or there'd be hell to pay. In the Catholic Church, when somebody told you there'd be hell to pay, that was not a figurative statement. There was teeth behind that one. And so the children began to think about stuff. What if, what if, what if? So they all came into the church, and I came into the church. I made the sign of the cross, and a little boy in the front pew looked at me and said, Father, forgive me, and he puked. Well, you know first graders, they're copycats. Everybody started getting sick. Fortunately, we had hymn books that we could catch the vomit in. You can imagine what that was like. Miss Brady leaping towards the students with an open hymn book. Ugh, ugh, ugh. It's awful. And I remember one woman afterwards saying, how could God let this happen? I turned to Miss Brady. Miss Brady, you were God today. It doesn't take much to scare us. Not at all, especially when we're little, but even when we're older. It doesn't take much to scare us. Turn on the television and get scared. So, how can we take the fear out of the world? How can we make a fearless world in which we love freely and feel at home, where we are loved as well? The primary commandment, according to me, in making the world a better, less fearful place, is to try never to make anyone feel guilty about themselves or ashamed of themselves. That scares us more than anything else, that somebody's going to make me feel bad about myself. And this is a little epidemic we have in our nation. We're constantly analyzing each other and telling each other what's wrong rather than what's right. So I say, let people know the good that they do rather than reminding them of the evil they're capable of. Television takes the bad in people, explores it, exaggerates it, and then dramatizes it. Now, we usually try to live up to how we're treated and what we're told about ourselves. I remember when I became a priest, I realized that people expected me to be kind and prayerful. I was not particularly kind, and I was not prayerful at all. I just put on a good act. But when I started looking into people's eyes and looking for the light rather than what was wrong, rather than the darkness, I started to be kind. When I noticed the pain people were in, I started to be kind. When I noticed the fear people were laboring under, I started to be kind. But prayer was harder. As a priest, people were on me all the time. A priest is like a mother. You ever have, you mothers, you had those little children and they wouldn't let you be alone? Yeah. You had to lock yourself in the bathroom or lock yourself in the car. Well, I locked myself in the church. I didn't lock myself in. But I sat in the pew and I would be alone for a little bit, and I just daydreamed at first. But gradually I began to pray. I didn't have anything else to do. So I prayed, and you know, things got better. I kept running to the church. I'd pray. Things got better. Whoa. But I lived up to what people expected of me. And over time, I began to live up to a bright vision of myself. Now, in all of us is the entire universe. Everybody in your consciousness, you have the entire universe in that consciousness, just as you have your entire DNA code in your every cell of your body. You've got the universe in your consciousness. As Walt Whitman said, you are everybody in the world. Kubler-Ross used to say, everybody has a Hitler in them. You can live up to the Hitler, or you can live up to something else. We're also capable of extraordinary heroism and virtue. There's a Nelson Mandela and a Maya Angelou in each of us. How we are treated and what we are told about ourselves goes a long way to determining the good we do or the evil we commit. Now, somebody last week told me about this African village in which when a woman is pregnant, she makes up a song about her child. And she sings that song to her child while she's pregnant. And when the child is born, everybody in the village learns their song. And when that person, no matter how old they are or how young they are, when they've misbehaved or when they lose faith in themselves, everybody gets together and they sing that child their song. Isn't that wonderful? Now think of what that could do to prisoners, to people who have been told all their life that they're less than, that they can't do it, that they're not the ones to succeed. If you could tell them, if you could sing a song to them that would change that, if you could sing them back to themselves, wouldn't that be extraordinary? I have a little song here. I didn't make it up, and it's been sung here by Miss Drucker. It's called, How Could Anybody Ever Tell You You Were Anything Less Than Beautiful? Let me sing that song to you now. I have a terrible voice. Just pretend like I'm Bob Dylan. How could anyone ever tell you you were anything less than beautiful? How could anyone ever tell you you were less than whole? How could anyone fail to notice that your loving is a miracle? How deeply you're connected to my soul. Wonder if they could play that in the prison. They could play that in the courtroom. They could play that in the principal's office. So, yeah, that little song, that's a starter. You can use that song, you can make up your own about yourself. Look what Ardell, you could say, Ardell, she's amazing. No matter who you are, you're amazing. Yes, you are. You're our star. Oh, Adele, Ardell, you're our star. Well, forget it. But anyway, you get the idea. Now, I want to encourage you. I want you to draw into yourself a minute. Just don't have to close your eyes, but just kind of sit very still. I want you to call to mind that you have made it to right now. You've been through a lot. There were times in your life when you didn't think you'd make it, when you thought you'd never be happy again, when he broke up with you or you broke up with him, when you were so discouraged, but you made it. You're here today. You're here happy and whole and beautiful. The life ahead of you is eternal, and the worth within you is indisputable. Turn off the television for a moment and reimagine the world as a safe and secure place full of kindness and possibilities. Will you often hear the phrase, I know you so well, and I love you so much. I know you so well, and I love you so much. Let's go on and close our eyes for the meditation. You are a precious child of God, and the word hopeless should not be in your vocabulary. The word impossible should not be in your vocabulary. And the word despair should also be banished from your life. You can do it. You've done it before, and you've done it in so many ways. You have given love and received love. Where you have endured, you've made it. You've been patient when it seemed like that there was no patience to be found. You've been kind when you felt angry. You felt bad for others. So now gather into yourself the strength in which you were created. The strength of honesty, of perseverance, of courage, of compassion. The strength of faith. Faith in God and faith in yourself. And let's sit in the silence for a moment, allowing God to speak to us. Dear hearts, do not let your vision fail. Do not let your hope wane. Do not let your determination grow weak. For you are the child of the living God. We are both the child of the living God. And in us, all is well.
Flow, Spirit, flow through me as I open up to be an expression of your unfolding peace.
You never